This is the voice of the Vortex. Hello. Today is October 26, 2010. As I finished William Gibson's newest novel, Zero History, I had the unsettling feeling that the bad guys had won. Let me back up a few years. I was not a fan of pattern recognition when it first came out. I sold my hardcover copy and thought myself well rid of it. Pattern recognition didn't have the things I expected from Gibson. No ninjas, impossible cities, or cyberspace. Pattern recognition was too present-day, present-time for me. I didn't identify with the protagonist, and I was disappointed by the big reveal. Years passed, and Spook Country came out. Meanwhile, my own circumstances had changed dramatically. Coming from that new point of view, I adored Spook Country. And when I was done, I tracked down a battered paperback of Pattern Recognition and found myself able to appreciate it much more than I had in college. Fear drives much of the plot in Zero History. I have not figured out what Hollis, the protagonist, is running from, aside from her mysterious and frightening benefactor. Her sidekick, Milgram, is remembering what fear is like without sedatives to insulate him from the world. The generalized paranoia that underlies modern military worship keeps the nominal bad guys moving through a series of misunderstood signals that might have been comic if the stakes didn't feel so high. And then I remember that it's really all about a jacket, some nice denim, and next year's fashion, and I am again impressed by Mr. Gibson's talent for misdirection. The book brings back characters from Spook Country and Pattern Recognition, and I feel like I need to reread those books in order to fully understand this one. I'm not sure if this novel stands alone. Gibson's finely machined writing is a pleasure to read, as always. But Zero History starts off slow, and never really works itself up into the frenzy that marked Gibson's earlier books. At the end, he pulled a stuffed ferret out of a hat and left me feeling queasy. I enjoyed Zero History, and I'll read it again when I get the chance. I recommend it to people who enjoy Pattern Recognition and Spook Country. Fans who are waiting for a throwback to Gibson's earlier work will have to keep looking. I got my flu vaccine last week. As I clung to the armrest of my chair, the poor pharmacist asked me, "So, do you often have trouble with injections?" I said, "Yeah, but I wouldn't do without it. I am flying to Columbus, Ohio for the World Fantasy Convention, and I want to give my body time to muster an immune response before I share germs with an airplane full of people. Vaccines are wonderful for that." Recently, scientists at the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization announced that they believe the Rinderpest virus has become extinct. Rinderpest is a disease of wild and domestic bovids, and has been blamed for wiping out 90% of the cattle in Africa when it was first introduced to that continent in the 1900s. Even after the development of a vaccine, Rinderpest continued to devastate African cattle and wild buffalo because some people vaccinated and some didn't. It took a coordinated effort by local people all across the world to drive Rinderpest extinct. This marks the second time in history that humans have made a disease go extinct. Both times, our best weapon against the viruses has been a vaccine. Vaccine opponents will say that vaccines are dangerous, that they contain toxins. They don't remember polio, or what rabies looks like when it goes untreated. They've never lost a child to measles, or seen a child born blind from rubella. They've never seen a woman's skin turn to one huge pustule and slough off, days before she dies from smallpox. Modern Western medicine has turned these dread diseases into stories from books. If I get the flu, I'll be miserable, but I probably won't die. That isn't necessarily true for everyone I come in contact with. If I get my vaccine and I don't get the flu, then I am one less person spreading the virus. I see this as my duty to society. Besides, I don't have time to be sick. I have conventions to attend. For a thorough takedown of the toxins and vaccines meme, see Dr. Chrislip's Quackcast, number 46. In podcasting news, Tor.com is back in the podcasting game with the return of their fiction podcast. I just listened to Clockwork Fairies by Kat Rambo, and I was very impressed. Tor.com publishes some wonderful stuff. As someone who rarely has time to sit down and read short fiction, I missed them. I'm looking forward to future podcasts, and I hope they do a podcast of their upcoming Kitch Johnson story, Ponies. In local news, the World Fantasy Convention is right around the corner. Hadley Rill Books will be launching Terry Lynn DeFino's novel, Finder, this Friday at the World Fantasy Convention. The launch of Chris McKittrick's debut novel, Transcendence, will be the following weekend at Jayhawk, Inc. Join me on Friday, November 5th, at 4 p.m. for the book signing. The Voice of the Vortex is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works, Share Alike 3.0 license. To comment on this episode, or to submit flash fiction for future shows, drop an email to voiceofthevortex, all one word, @gmail.com. Show notes are available at voiceofthevortex.podbean.com. This is Sarah Frost, the Voice of the Vortex, signing off.